welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I'm joined with my oh-so-awesome co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. Today, we are thrilled because we're going to be talking about a subject that many of us relate to because it's where all of us start in our relationship status, right? We're going to be talking about singleness. And you know, Michelle, I really appreciate this topic because you and I were discussing, and many of you know, that this has many faces. Singleness is kind of a sensitive topic for a lot of us because what we do in our single lives, it really can set the foundation for what we're bringing into our relationships, whether or not we marry or whether or not we just have time with someone and learn from them. There's always opportunity from God to get to know Him deeper in each aspect of our lives. And singleness is a really unique time. And I so appreciate so much that you're going to share today because we've both had our experiences in this in different ways. And I'm just excited to hear how God has spoken to each of us and just really shown Himself in all the different seasons of our life as this was present. So,
sure. Before we start, do we have any information that people should know about following us?
Oh, yeah, sure. I forgot. You know, we're all such a big church family. I know a lot of us see each other, but we always have some new listeners. So we want to make sure that if this is your first time listening today, welcome, welcome. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We're going to be talking about a range of topics throughout the summer, throughout the year. And we love hearing from you. We love your participation. And thank you so much for your support. Thank you guys so much. Yeah, I really love this, Michelle. This is awesome. You know, I think about when I was in college and how I kind of had this distorted view of what singleness meant. You know, for some of us, singleness is about a torturous waiting time period until we finally find the person that we want to be with.
And you're worried it's going to be 40 years in the wilderness like the Israelites, right?
Yes. I think some desperate prayers can go up when we just can't see all of God's plan unfolding. And we do kind of see our trust issues too.
Sure.
I mean, wouldn't you say that's a time that we say, okay, God, I need to try you in this way where I'm ultra vulnerable, ultra sensitive. Please do not fail me. Please give me the desires of my heart. But ultimately, we really do want for Him to say, I'll give you what's best.
Amen. All right. Are you single and afraid that God is calling you to be single forever? Do not change this station. Stay here. Is singleness a gift to be enjoyed or a problem to be solved? Don't worry. I'm going to give you 10 tips on the end on how to get a man.
Oh, goodness.
All right.
Oh,
so gosh. Stay with us. All right.
I'm excited.
So you find yourself single. Mm-hmm. Who can understand your plight? Well, Elizabeth Elliot can. Mm. Famous missionary with her husband to the Oka Indians in South America. By the time she had married her third husband when she was 51. That's right, people. Three husbands.
Wow.
Go look up her picture.
Wow.
She was an amazing woman. Mm. I feel like her books and messages mentored me. Feel like she was my spiritual mother. Three husbands. At 51, she had only been single for 44 of those years.
Wow.
All right. For those of you doing the math, yes, she'd been married less than 7 years in 5 decades.
Wow.
She wrote this little essay. It's a lovely moonlit night, but I am alone. A cozy candlelight supper with my friends. They're all couples except for me. Shall I be miserable all evening because they are together and I am single? Have I been cheated? Who cheated me? The phone rings. Maybe it's going to be him. No, it's someone selling light bulbs.
Oh.
Should I be rude because he ought to have been someone else? A letter in the mailbox that for once doesn't look like junk mail or a bill. I snatch it eagerly. It's from my Aunt Susie. Do I throw it aside in disgust? She writes, I know about this kind of response. I have been there many times. Something I wrote to Jim Elliot. They dated a long time before they got married.
Okay.
Something I wrote to him must have revealed my resentment, for he wrote back, let not longing slay the appetite of our living.
Wow.
And that was exactly what I had let it do.
Mm.
Are you called to singleness? I don't know.
Yeah.
If you're single today, that's your call for today.
Yes, yes.
All right? It may change like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Does it seem like a gift? Is it a gift you're not happy opening?
Mm.
Well, let me tell you, it's your practicum for the next chapter of your story. Do I mean you will get married? No.
Right.
I can't promise that to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few months ago, I asked a wonderful single woman friend of mine if she wanted me to pray for a husband. She drew back in horror.
Oh.
She said, absolutely not, because I don't have time for a husband.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She loved the freedom that her single life offered her.
Yes, yes.
Freedom to spend time exclusively with God, experiencing what Paul meant when he talked about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 7. In verse 8, Paul said, it is good for them if they abide single, even as I.
Mm-hmm.
That word good can also mean beautiful.
Wow.
It's beautiful to abide in the situation and season you're in.
You know, I really appreciate this perspective, Michelle, because I think that is the key to living your single life with purpose. What is your perspective?
Mm.
Are you processing things through the filter of God's plan for your life? Now, of course, he doesn't reveal everything about those details to us because honestly, we wouldn't be able to handle it. If God were to show himself all at one time, I would be like that woman as well and jump back horrified. I'm going to do what? For how long? That's me? Oh, my goodness, you know, and we have to have this trust in him because, yes, we have many different emotions that come with this portion of our life. You're right. For some people, it doesn't feel like a gift. It's a deep sadness.
Mm.
For some people, there's so much of a longing in the heart. And then for others, because them and God have this deep intimacy, they don't sense a longing. I remember there was a period in my life for about 3 years. I had just come out of a very serious relationship and I knew I didn't want to jump back into another one. And it was actually right around the time that I had met our ministry. And I was surrounded by a group of single ladies that were doing so much for God. And it really touched me in a very different way that when I was sitting around them and talking with them about who they were and why they loved God, it wasn't a grump circle about how God had not given them men to marry yet. Now, does that mean they didn't value marriage? No, but they weren't narrowing their vision for their life to this is what I want. This is what I should be doing. And if it's not here, I am supposed to sense a lack. You know, God is our first husband as women. We read that in Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so what from that marriage are we going to take into our future relationships? Maybe he's not done teaching us yet. And while we're waiting, we can say God knows what he's doing. He always has a plan. And even though I'm uncertain, he's never uncertain about what he's doing in my life.
That's beautiful. I love that you use the word narrow.
Hmm.
You know, if you're single for now or for today, just waiting to get married.
Yes.
Is a very narrow plan, a very narrow call. You're going to limit yourself. You're going to pass opportunities.
Yes.
Are you so focused on getting an engagement ring or a crown?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, they're both circular.
Mm-hmm.
They're both things you wear on your body. Mm-hmm. Your engagement ring is very tiny.
Mm-hmm.
A crown, on the other hand.
Mm.
There's 5 crowns in the Bible. There's an incorruptible crown given to those who have victory over the world and their flesh.
Yes.
I don't think I'm getting that one, but it's nice to dream. I'm sorry.
Dare to dream, Michelle.
You know, I don't have victory over my flesh yet.
Right.
But
right.
That's where we're going, right?
Yes,
that's
yes.
What we want God to do for us. There's a crown of rejoicing for
yes.
The soul winners.
Yes.
Have you got that
mm-hmm.
in your back pocket?
Mm-hmm.
There's a crown of life given to martyrs.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Like, okay, no one's praying for that.
Wow.
But Revelation 2:10 says, don't fear. Be faithful unto death. There's a crown of glory given to shepherds, and I'll put in shepherdesses in 1 Peter 5:4. Are you busy shepherding people?
Yes.
You know, there's a crown of righteousness who have hope for the second coming of Christ. There's 5 crowns that married women, single women, widowed women, any women, any guy mm-hmm. could desire.
Yes.
You know, and all, if you're only focused on what's going to go on that ring finger,
yes,
I think you're going to miss some of those crowns.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I love that the focus of all those crowns are not on you. It's all about ministry to other people. It's all about the further development that Christ is doing in you as you are partaking. There's so many ways for us to use this time when we're not joined in a marriage, because truth be told, Michelle, and I'm sure you can attest to this, marriage is beautiful, but it also brings division. I mean, it's a beautiful union, but your attention becomes divided between making sure that you and your spouse are okay. Then if you grow a family, is my family okay? So I just think that having this beautiful ministry of availability can very much be undervalued in the church, especially amongst women who maybe do have this longing and they say, no, this is my worth. This is how I determine my worth. Has somebody picked me yet and asked me to marry them? But of course, God has chosen you first, and that's where your value comes from. And I just want to say personally to all of the single women in our church, thank you. Thank you for all of you who do choose to invest in other women in ways that maybe married women can't sometimes. Maybe women that are more career focused cannot focus on sometimes. We have this quiet covering because we have searching eyes. It's almost like we have these watchmen in the ministry saying, well, because I am not in this season of my life, I can pray for you more. I can show up at the door when you need that kind of support. I can fast for you. I can go through this with you. And honestly, that is such a privilege that God would cover us by using the status of everyone in the body and saying, hey, this isn't what they're doing right now, but that doesn't mean that there is not a ministry to people. You don't have to just have a ministry to your husband to have a ministry in the body. And thank God for these seasons where we can say, okay, God, while I'm here and I can hear from you like this, what do you want me to do?
That is so beautiful. We just had an incredible convention, and the women's sessions are on YouTube. They're phenomenal.
They are amazing.
And we had two women speakers every day and a woman singer. So that was 3 times 5, which is 15. I asked 15 other women who were not involved in the program to pray. And wow. One woman came up to me in tears at the beginning of the week. She happened to be a single woman, in tears, thanking me for the opportunity to pray for specific speakers and a singer.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my goodness, I've been missing out on involving actually more people in an event that could be praying and cheering on. So I love what you're saying.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Let me ask a question. Are you more focused on getting a husband or looking for the arrival of the bridegroom?
Wow.
Yep. Wow. I have a perfume I like very much. I'm wearing it today. Of course, you can't smell it. It's called I Don't Need a Prince by My Side to Be a Princess. Yes, that's the title of the perfume, and I'm not promoting
Sassy.
It smells good on me. I don't know if it's going to smell good on you. I got a free sample. That's the only way I could afford it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, you don't need a prince, but you cannot be a princess without a king.
Mm-hmm.
Is your eye focused on the coming bridegroom?
Mm-hmm.
We hear the parable of the virgins. 5 were ready. They had extra oil, which to me means they had distilled Bible doctrine, that oil of the Holy Spirit that you only get drop by drop, day by day. And 5 were totally unprepared.
Right, right.
Like, what had they been doing all this time?
Mm-hmm.
And ask yourself tonight before you go to bed, am I living a life that is pleasing the Lord?
Wow.
And does my calendar reflect my love for the Lord? Am I looking for the bridegroom?
That's such an important question, Michelle, because I think, especially us as women, you know, we have very vivid imaginations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we can totally live in this world of concept, you know, and then it transitions from concept into worship. And then we're trying to paint these pictures by forcing God's hand. And, you know, we can be on the outside looking in and we don't understand that our concept is flawed. You know, there's a reason why God does withhold. There's a reason why the two of you haven't met yet, if that's in your future. I was even reading a book by Leslie Ludi a few years ago called Authentic Beauty. And she posed the question, are you praying for your husband today?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter that you haven't met him. If he is real, if he is being prepared for you, you can already start blessing him with your prayers. You can already start covering him, because whatever God is doing in his life, you're trying to cover him in the prayers that it still leads to you.
Oh, that's beautiful.
He's still developing in the Lord. So how are you perceiving this time? Are you letting God kind of shatter the concept and say, let's put my truth all over it? And how can you be spiritually involved as you are waiting for this to happen in your life?
I have a girlfriend who has a closet full of rom-coms.
Oh, wow.
And romantic movies.
Okay.
And I said, why? And she goes, I'm preparing for marriage.
Oh.
Okay, honey, I did not say this to her, but I'll say it now. And I'll say it to you that are listening. That is not how you prepare for marriage.
No,
adding more concepts.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Let's take a breath.
Yes.
Let's relax.
Yes.
Let's let God define what our path is.
Yes.
Let me ask you another question. Are you focused on making yourself valuable for the kingdom's sake?
Mm-hmm.
Don't let your lack of a mate today paralyze you.
Yes.
How many opportunities do you have to read your Bible? Are you tweezing your eyebrows and dyeing your hair more than you're reading your Bible?
Wow.
You know,
wow.
Come on.
Right.
Come on. These things take time.
Right. They do. They do.
And there's not anything wrong with tweezing your eyebrows and getting your nails done.
Right, right.
But is it, where's your balance?
Right.
Where's your balance tipped?
Wow.
You have an opportunity to read and study and dance before the Lord, mm-hmm. and sing and invest in friends and disciples and children, or travel.
Yes.
As a missionary, we have many single women missionaries that we love praying for and encouraging. Mm-hmm. We're so happy. We're so proud of them.
Yeah.
And I believe they are valuable to the kingdom.
Oh, absolutely. I love what you're saying, Michelle, because a lot of times part of that flawed concept when we think about marriage, when we're not married, we don't realize that we're taking our identity in Christ into the marriage. That's going to be there. Yes, you have this blessed union and you have this amazing intimacy with your husband. However, you need to be able to separate yourself and know that you have your own things to pray to God about your personal walk. It shouldn't be that now that I'm married, I don't have anything to say to God anymore. He's answered my prayer, and now all of my focus turns towards my husband. I mean, naturally, I think we want to do that because we want to be good wives. But God never said, as soon as you marry, I want you to completely do away with the fact that I've taken time to make you. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, now you all can work as a unit. However, when you separate, when he goes to work, when you go to work, when you're at church, when he's at church, I have called you to different things. So we need to keep maintaining the relationship that we already had before you got married, because we still have some things to discuss. I'm still developing you, and it's going to have this added relationship, but your walk with me personally does not stop. I don't want your focus coming away from me and going into a worship zone now that you finally have the ring, or you finally did have the wedding of your dreams. That's wonderful. Like you're saying, rejoice in that. Rejoice in the joy that God brings into your life. But don't forget your first love.
I love that.
Don't forget your first love.
I had a young friend, and I told her she would spend more time with her fiancé before marriage than after, and she did not believe me, and she went and talked to other married women, and she found out the terrible, horrible, awful, no good, very bad truth that her husband will do a terrible thing right after their honeymoon. He'll go to work. And he'll be gone all day.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes home, he's tired.
Yes.
And doesn't want to talk to you the first 10, 15 minutes. Remember, work is a curse.
Mm.
And part of that curse is separating husbands and wives all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think you're going to sit around all day and read magazines.
Sure.
You know? You've got a home. You've got meals to plan.
Mm-hmm.
You've got maybe children to raise, maybe your own career. And time alone with your husband is going to be scarce.
Oh, man. Talk about getting creative.
Oh, my gosh. We have the model married woman in Proverbs 31. Read Proverbs chapter 31. But in the midst of describing all her activities at home with other women and in the corporate world, we don't read that she's spending any time with her husband. If you look at that chapter, it says he's, you know, revered in the gates. He has a great reputation, but that's it.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
When did they spend time together?
But, you know, I think that this is important because one of the things that we can start to worship in our mind is this concept of how we're going to do it. I know this happens to other women, but this isn't going to happen to us. I know that this happens to other marriages, but this isn't going to happen to us. And rather than trying to change a situation that you really do have to live in first to see what your specific marriage needs, it's very important to think about that thought life. You know, there are going to be long periods of separation. And how are we thinking? Is our mind only on when my husband gets back? Because God could be trying to say something much more profound than that, you know.
But I
think about how, you know, God is jealous. You know, we learn about that in Exodus 23. And he says, you shall have no other gods before me. But what are our other little gods that
could
we put there?
Could God be a husband? No.
Well, like I said, oh. I do think that a lot of times the intent is just to deliver on being a great wife. You know, God sees the intention of our heart, but thank God for his discipline and his correction where he says, listen, I know this is the way that you want to love, but that's why we need the cross so that you can realize that there is boundary and that there is this crossover moment where it can become dangerous. And I am jealous for you. I gave you to this man and I want the center of your relationship to be on me, not on what you all consider wise.
Or God could be saying, I'm keeping you for myself.
Yes. Yes.
And that's his business and that's legit.
And, you know, I think that's a great opportunity for a lot of single women to think, if God is doing something in my life that requires this amount of development, is it wise for me to constantly ask him questions about when this time period is over, or for me to say, Lord, this is heartbreaking for me on the one end, but because I trust you on the other end, I am going to keep pursuing you daily and asking you, since I have to die in this way today, what are the ways you want me to live for you?
Beautiful, beautiful. Song of Solomon 8:9 talks about a little sister and whether she's a wall or a door. If she's a wall, we'll build on her a palace of silver. If she's a door, we'll enclose her with boards of cedar. Hmm. Now, it's funny, just this last week, we had 4 new doors installed in our house.
Oh, that's so funny.
And the installer was teaching his apprentice about hanging them plumb, level, square, and true.
Hmm.
Plumb, perfectly vertical. Level, perfectly horizontal. Square, all 90-degree corners. And true, everything lined up where they were placing the door.
Wow.
And in our lives, it speaks to having this vertical, plumb relationship with God.
Yes.
As well as a vibrant, horizontal relationship with the body of Christ.
Yes.
Square. You know, do we deal properly with our finances? Are you tithing? Do you get to work on time?
Mm-hmm.
Are you maintaining your vehicle? I know, things we don't want to spend money on.
Yeah.
We'd rather buy a purse, but the car needs a filter and an oil change.
Sure.
You know, are you investing your time and money in the right things?
Mm.
You know, I have to talk to men now.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh.
The demographers call this the postponed generation.
Okay.
It has reached catastrophic proportions. Men are postponing proposing marriage.
Mm.
10 or 20 or 30
Michelle.
Years after what was considered the marrying age. They look in the mirror, they see a few grays, and they say, wow, I better get going on this. I need to get married.
Mm.
But they don't pick a woman of their own age. They pick a woman who is 20 or 10 years younger, feeling that if they have this young wife, okay, that's going to be great.
Mm.
But everywhere you see, you look at beautiful, lovely Christian women,
yes.
deeply spiritual, feminine, and single. Why?
Yes.
Guys, come on. Gladys Alward had been a missionary in China for many years.
Okay.
At one point, she asked God for a husband. She prayed.
Mm-hmm.
She waited.
Mm-hmm.
He never came.
Mm.
And she told people later, she goes, I knew God answered my prayer. I knew he called someone, but he was disobedient and he never came to China.
Wow.
Yeah. All right?
Wow.
Men of God have to be willing to shoulder the responsibility of manhood, taking risks, making sacrifices. Now, if you're 20 years old, guys, I'm not talking to you.
Thank you for clarifying.
Calm down. All right? You're not ready. Let me just tell you, you're not ready.
Mom advice.
You got to have a few things together.
Yeah.
But it is a blessing to be married.
Right.
You know, and it's obvious that God calls most men. Some are set apart.
Mm-hmm.
And we know single pastors and men who,
sure,
who have no desire and are called. And we respect that. We're
yes.
not touching that.
Sure.
But hey, come on, look around. There's beautiful women everywhere. Girls, don't be sitting at home waiting for a man to notice you. Don't be waiting for someone to complete you. You
no,
are already
oh my gosh.
Complete in Christ.
Amen. Amen. I love that. And you know, I love that charge to the men, Michelle, because you're right. As we are growing and developing our walks, again, in a different season, maybe we're in Bible college, maybe we just graduated from Bible college. It is important for us to glean from other men or other women for the young ladies that have invested in us, because you all represent some version of our futures. You know, everything is so conceptual. Maybe we're on fire for God, but the practical aspects of how to do certain types of life, we don't know yet. So we need to be under you. We need that invitation for you to let us come into your homes, to sit down with you and ask you questions about your marriages. We need you to show us that it's not easy every day, but God is faithful every day. We need those examples. And sometimes we can undervalue that and say, well, I don't have anything to teach this person. You know, I'm not a perfect person. God has never been looking for perfection. And I don't think that the student learning from you is looking for that either. They're just looking for transparency, and they're looking for authentic ways to know how to keep their hold on God when everything feels like it's being attacked. Those are the true marriages that are examples. And even for some that have said, I have prayed and God has said no in this area of my life, for us to see that faith continuing even in the life of that person, it shows my walk with God goes into the valleys, but he also rejoices with me on tops of mountains. This is a lifelong friendship, and I'm so glad that he's blessed me with examples of both ways of following him, of all the ways that life can surprise me, but never surprise him.
Beautiful, beautiful. Should Christian single women use a dating app?
Okay, now hold on a second. I am a product of a dating app. I'm going to say it openly. Now, I didn't pay any money because I was always a little skeptical, I'm going to be honest. And I remember saying, Lord, I don't know how you feel about this. I know how some people in the church feel about this, but I don't know how you feel about this. So please, Lord, hear my heart. There is something that I want now, and everyone that I am surrounded by is not a prospect. I was heavy in professional theater, and it was a range of different choices of nice guys, nobody who was going to be able to be a spiritual covering for me. And so I said, Lord, this is what I have time for. I have a very busy schedule, and this longing won't go away. I told you I was fine for 3 years.
Was that your number one criteria, a spiritual covering?
Yes. I remember speaking with someone and saying, and she said, well, what's the most important thing to you in finding a husband? I said, I have to see God in him.
Beautiful.
I have to see God in him.
Beautiful. I married my husband because he prayed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And they're real people. I mean, we're real people on these dating apps looking for something. But I do have to be honest, everyone's not looking for the same thing. Even if Christian is next to your name, we all know that that has turned into many different things now.
Just like Coke, there's lots of different flavors.
Yeah,
and a lot of them don't taste anything like Coke.
Amen. So.
Should you use a dating app? I say yes.
Okay.
Try it.
Thank you.
Try it. Why not? Relax, enjoy, date publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give anyone your home address, although they can find you on Google in two minutes. Invite him to church.
Yes.
See
that was
how
my
that
second
him.
Date.
See
yes.
what he says about your pastor.
Yeah. Oh, amen. Amen. But you know what? I love that, Michelle, because there's a difference between I'm going to go on this app and have this whole relationship through a screen versus why don't we ask each other from the get-go some important questions and see whether or not meeting in person is something that we both are led to do, and then start building the relationship. That's exactly what happened between Justin and I. I had questions about teaching, and everything about what Justin wrote about himself on his profile, it just highlighted his heart and his love for being a teacher. I had never heard anybody talk about loving their students and bringing Christ into the classroom as a way to just encourage them and inspire them. Now, of course, he can't say all those things openly, but his heart was to love them with the heart of God. And that's what drew me. And when I first met him, we were done with the screen. You know, it was all about let's keep connecting one-on-one. And I did have some test questions. I remember on our second date, I was like, why don't we meet in the cafe after my church service? And he said, well, why don't we go to the service and then afterwards hang out in the cafe?
Oh, I love that
ding,
boy.
Ding, 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 ding. I was like, oh, yay, this is a blessing.
Yay.
So, and now we're going to be celebrating 10 years in November.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Such a blessing. Preparing for marriage is not so much a matter of finding the right person as it is becoming the right person.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to give you my 10 tips on how to get a man.
Okay. I can't wait for this.
It's from the book of Ruth.
Oh.
So you could go to the middle, actually not the middle of the Old Testament, the beginning of the Old Testament, find the book of Ruth, read her story. You can read it in just a few minutes.
Mm.
Number one, be loyal.
Mm-hmm.
She was loyal to a difficult and bitter woman.
Wow.
Not easy.
Mm.
We just had my mother-in-law living with us, and she got saved in our house. Alleluia. Thank you, Pastor John Hadley.
Mm-hmm.
But it was difficult being with someone who has been buffeted by life.
Yes.
But she was loyal. In fact, Boaz, when he meets her in Ruth chapter 2, he says, everyone's been talking about you. People are going to gossip about you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have good gossip.
Is there good gossip?
No, she was loyal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. She's a stranger. She's a foreigner. I think she's kind of weird. I don't like how she does her hair. But look at how she's sticking with Naomi.
That's true. So what people don't realize is that they're seeing God in somebody, and that's why they're so fervent in the conversation.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Number two, work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are.
Yes.
Work hard. Don't slack off. You're at work, your job. Work hard.
Yes.
You're at church. You're on an outreach team.
Yes.
Work hard. I just had someone talk about her Saturday outreach, and she said, the temptation is to get lost in the fellowship.
Oh.
And we have to keep encouraging ourselves to, we're here to win souls.
Yes. Okay.
Have that balance with another friend where mm-hmm. you're challenging each other to work hard. That
Amen.
Was the first thing that Boaz heard about her, that she was a hard worker. She'd been working all morning.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm.
Join in. When Boaz called her to come and sit with the other reapers, she didn't sit back and say, oh, no, I'm sure you don't mean me.
Mm.
No, she got herself in the circle.
Okay.
Don't sit at home and think Prince Charming is going to come with a dragon and a ladder. And you know, he's not.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
But, you know, I think a lot of us, we have maybe some conflicting feelings about this, Michelle, because on the one hand, I think a lot of us, we want to say, no, I trust God completely. But sometimes we can take that into this zone of, and because all I'm doing is trusting him, I don't have to do anything else. But I remember somebody gave me this analogy when I was first pursuing auditions in the DC area. They said, if you want work, do you expect a director to come knocking on every door and say, excuse me, is an actor living here? And it really painted a picture for me. And it's the same way when you're single. We're not saying go to every social gathering in the world, but you do have to step outside and be available to be pursued. You know, you can be at a fellowship event. You cannot reject someone asking if they can sit next to you in service. You can get something to eat in the cafe after a rap session or after a Bible college class. There are ways for you to say, I'm leaving the door open a little bit. I'm not going to force anything. I'm not going to try to orchestrate anything, but I am going to allow myself to be available. And you know what? I just want to say for a lot of the men, not just in our ministry, but real Christian men that love the Lord, they are looking for you to open the door a little bit. Do you know how intimidating it is to go up to somebody that you think is beautiful on the inside and the outside and offer yourself? She could flat out say, no. So why don't you encourage by saying, you know what? I'm going to make this a little bit easy for you and just let you know I'm interested in your company. We can do that. We can totally do that as ladies.
You know, Ruth had this beautiful exchange with Boaz where he is friendly to her. She is friendly to him. Neither of them has designs on each other. And his advice to her was keep your eyes on the field and stay with the women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is great advice. Have strong, vibrant female friendships.
Yes. Yes.
You know, number five, express gratitude. Mm-hmm. These were the first words out of her mouth. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for noticing me. Thank you for buying me this coffee.
Yeah.
Thank you for making room at your table.
Yes.
You know, men, I think everyone responds to gratitude, but men
especially. Absolutely. Yes.
Respond.
Mm-hmm.
Be generous. Mm-hmm. When Boaz handed her an incredible, I don't know what it was, a Big Mac, you know, she only ate half of it and wrapped up the rest and brought it home to Naomi. You know,
So are you saying don't choose the most expensive thing on the menu on purpose?
Maybe a big salad.
Okay.
You know,
that's fair.
And take that's home fair. Half.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and
that's
she
nice.
Was generous.
Yeah.
And people notice.
Oh, definitely.
What you're doing. This is all Boaz. It's written here in the Bible. So mm-hmm. someone noticed and wrote all this down.
Mm-hmm.
Be generous. Saved mm-hmm. some to share.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes home to Naomi, and Naomi says, oh, this is the guy for you. Okay, listen when someone says, this is the guy for you.
Yes, especially if it's someone who really knows you, has invested in you, and can see beyond what you can. I think I love that the most, Michelle, about going to the Women's Connection Bible study in Baltimore. I'm listening to all these walks of life from women that have been following the Lord for years, and I could say one or two things and they will pray for me in a very specific way based on the fact that they can look at me and say, I've been where you are. I remember when I had young kids. I remember this. I remember that. I love what you're saying. It's something of great value when somebody is allowed to speak into your life in that way. And I think we need it. I think we need it so that especially if a mistake is about to be made, it doesn't just become about defense and offense. It's, you know what? This person loves me. So I need to humble myself and hear whether or not I'm being led by myself or led by God.
We heard Sue Vieter say at the women's sessions, the body tells you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, an older woman in this scripture, it's Naomi
yes.
saying, mm-hmm. you know, hey, I think this is the guy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And her next advice was take a bath and anoint yourself. So number eight is please, ladies, smell nice. Okay.
I got to get some of that perfume sample from you.
Yeah, we've got to go out. No, there's nothing wrong with being, really, you're going to go to outreach with, you know, sweatpants and a t-shirt and an old hoodie. How about, you know, step it up just a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, okay.
You know, a nicer pair of slacks.
Okay.
A blouse with put a necklace on. Dress up for yourself. We are
yes.
not trying to attract men.
Right.
We are not bait.
Right.
All right.
Right.
But hey, put on fun earrings for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, squirt some perfume on for yourself.
I love
I'm
that.
Sorry, but men are very attracted to nice smelling women. If you didn't know that, it's take number nine. I'm sorry. Take the time to look pretty.
Yeah. You know, I love that because it highlights the fact that this is something I think we forget. We have to have a ministry to ourselves.
Yes.
We have to. How can I have a ministry to you with any real stability if I won't even allow myself to be exposed before God and let him teach me how much he values me and how much he wants me to glorify in the life that he's given me? And it's important. Yeah. This is not a self-care message. This is us looking in the mirror and saying, I am of value to God, whether or not I understand it. And I'm going to glory in that today. I'm going to glory in the truth, not in my feelings, not in my wounds, not in my insecurities. I'm going to lift those up to God, but I'm going going to walk in who he has called me to be. I'm going to walk in the truth that he says about me because he is what's real.
I love it. You know, Elizabeth Elliot, three husbands. Go look up her picture. Mm. How did this woman get three husbands? It's her confidence in the Lord.
Yes.
And that is wildly attractive to men. She
absolutely
was not looking for husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And God just brought men into her life mm-hmm. because she was a vibrant, excited about the Lord woman.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with taking the time to look pretty. Don't tell me, oh, I can't afford a whole new wardrobe. No, come to Blessing Boutique next convention where mm-hmm. everything's a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Marcia and I will help you. You need some basics.
Mm-hmm.
And with 10 items, you know, you could get dressed in 40 outfits. We'll
show
you
how. Yeah, rotate.
Mm-hmm. You know, rotate, mix it up.
Yeah.
Hey, just have some fun for your own sake.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have a closet that's full of things you hate.
Yes, or things that put pressure on you.
Oh.
You know, our bodies change. Seasons in life change. And I remember just gathering up a bunch of things last winter. And I just said, Jasmine, that time is over. It's over. It doesn't mean that you don't have to value how you look or that now it's on the opposite end of the spectrum. Now, because I don't look like this, I just look terrible. You're a mom now. You're a busy mom because you're trying to make sure you're being a good mom. You take care of yourself as best you can. And you know what? A lot of the time when certain things aren't getting your attention, it's because now God is. So just honor that and let it go.
I love it.
It was very relieving. I just took it to the store and said, you know what? This is a good decision because it means God is more present in my life and he's shedding what needs to go. These mental concepts, where my time is going, where the pressure is coming from. And of course, I'm still a work in progress, you know, but isn't that amazing that God would say, hey, this thing that has you in bondage, that's not of me. So as you continue to grow, I'm showing you in this season now how we're going to be walking together.
I love it. Number 10, don't be afraid to initiate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a hard one.
I know.
It is. It's possible, but it's a hard one, Michelle.
But Ruth asked him to marry her.
She did.
And when did he do it? The next day, ladies. The next day.
Oh, Michelle, you're starting fire.
But, I mean, don't be afraid to say, hey, let's go out for coffee after outreach.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't be fake and phony.
Yeah.
Don't say, let's go for a prayer meeting if you're going to not do that.
Right, right.
But let's have fun. Let's live our lives. Enjoy what God has for us.
Yeah.
I love that you brought up Isaiah, our maker is our husband.
Yes, yes.
And single, married, widowed, divorced, imprisoned by your own desires. Let's be free and relax in who made us.
Yes, I love it. I absolutely love it, Michelle. You know, we have to really be searching for what the opportunity is for this particular season in our life, because there always is one. There always is one. When we have the filter of the cross, when our focus is God, every day can be purposeful. And you know what? It's amazing that the mystery of God continues to leave us speechless with what each day brings. Like you said, it could be one day that we're saying, hey, you want to get a coffee? And the next day someone is saying, I have seen the Lord in you and I would love to join my life with you and have a ministry to you. Can we have a ministry to each other? And it's just, it's beautiful. God's design is beautiful. And I love that verse in Isaiah 54:5, for your maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name. Or whether he adds an early earthly husband to your life, or he just says, hey, you know what? This is going to be a special time period for you and I, because guess what? There are more plans when you leave the earth.
You know, we know marriage is important, that it reflects the union of Christ and the church, but Jesus did not get married.
Mm.
All right? Mm-hmm. If God had thought it was so important for everyone to experience marriage,
yes,
I'm sure Jesus would have gotten married.
Yes.
And he didn't. He skipped it.
Mm.
Did he have a miserable life? Apparently not. We're still reading and praising him today.
Yeah.
And there won't be any marriage in heaven.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I want to live near my husband.
I've had this conversation, like, I'm going to look for you.
Yeah, I've asked God to put me on the same street, you know, but it's not going to be forever.
Right.
So could we relax?
Yes.
And know this is a temporary earthly thing. It's lovely.
Yes.
But We have a wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful bridegroom.
Yes.
Who is looking, like you said, he is a jealous lover and mm-hmm. wanting to spend time alone with us.
Yes. And I love that he will teach us what we need to know, whether or not it's just us and him or he's adding someone else. Because even through those marital relationships, we are learning more and more what it truly means to love like him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. We have loved being with you. God bless you all. And we hope that you join us again tomorrow as we continue this topic on singleness and God's plan. We love you. We'll see you next time.